5:20, and this is the KDLL Evening News for Tuesday, July 28th, on 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna, listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. I'm Ashlyn O'Hara. Thanks for tuning in. Coming up, lawmakers return to Juneau for their third special session on tax breaks for the Alaska LNG project. But first, the city of Seward wants to turn the town's shuttered middle school into a community recreation center. The city council Monday gave city officials permission to sign a 5-year contract with the Kenai Peninsula Borough to take over utility and maintenance costs. The agreement must also be approved by the Borough Assembly. Seward Middle School is one of 4 schools Kenai Peninsula School Board members closed earlier this year to save money. Since then, communities around the borough have grappled with what should become of the old schools. Russ White manages sports and recreation for the city. At a council work session in May, he said the proposal is a way to soften the blow of the school closing by bringing Seward's youth programs under one roof.
We'd actually make it into a positive by keeping it open and having a community center up there. And again, the youth center, having that as a centralized location, I know transportation is a huge issue, and that's right next to the schools. Kids could walk there.
The middle school building is largely turnkey for the city. It already has a gymnasium, an auditorium, an industrial kitchen, a band room, and classrooms. White envisions moving the Parks and Rec offices into the building, creating a childcare space, and expanding outdoor activities. City Manager Kat Sorensen says that model would give the department room to grow while not fully committing to a new city building. Under the agreement, Seward would lease, not buy, the middle school from the borough.
If it did ever need to become a middle school again, you know, it would be important for the borough to utilize that, which is also part of why we don't necessarily want to make long-term, huge shifts that can't be undone.
Under the lease agreement put before the council, Seward would pay $1 per year to lease the building and then pay for utilities and maintenance costs. Those are ballparked at $250,000 per year for most of the 5-year lease. This year would cost a little less because Seward's budget year ends in January. Through the end of 2026, the city would pay around $150,000. That includes utility costs through the end of the year and a one-time chunk of startup money. That allowance is expected to cover compliance checks, a technology and security setup, and moving the Parks and Recreation Department. Council members voted to reduce how much money to put toward the facility this year by about $83,000. The amendment came from Councilmember Lori Draper, who said she was concerned about approving such a large lump sum up front.
What I'm uncomfortable with is a blank check for $150,000 with no list, no amounts, not where it's going to go or why we're going to use it.
Sorensen says the request is for an up-to amount because the city isn't totally sure what it will inherit from the school district when it moves into the building. The council unanimously voted to reduce the total amount of money it approved. Multiple community members voiced their support for the rec center idea during the council's May work session. Lily Coyle is vice president of the nonprofit Seward Arts Council. She says her organization already has ideas for what it could do with a dedicated space.
We could start, you know, hosting more classes. We could utilize the community spaces for different events. So it really does, we as an organization have felt pretty large need for finding a more stable space that we can do community arts programming in.
If all goes according to plan, the city can move into the middle school building September 1st. The building would open for programming at a later, undetermined date. The city expects the Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly to vote the agreement up or down next month. And finally, a handful of state legislators returned to Juneau on Monday to begin a third special session on tax breaks for the Alaska LNG project. House Speaker Bryce Edgman, a Dillingham independent, says it's the governor's last chance to get a bill to help the $54 billion project get across the finish line before he leaves office in December.
The clock is ticking very loudly right now, and the governor realizes that. And I could tell you that if we don't get it done this special session, that I don't know that there will be another opportunity this year.
Monday's start to the new session was quiet, with just 4 legislators present on the floor of the House and Senate and no legislation for them to consider. Governor Mike Dunleavy called lawmakers back on July 16th after threatening to veto a bill crafted by a conference committee and passed by the state Senate. That bill included numerous concessions by lead project developer Glen Farne, including payments to local municipalities and price caps for in-state gas. The bill would also have imposed corporate income taxes on some private oil and gas companies, including large producer Hilcorp. That so-called pass-through entities tax was a must-have for the Senate's bipartisan majority and a deal-breaker for Dunleavy. Now, majority and minority lawmakers alike say it will be up to the governor to come up with a bill that can pass both the House and Senate. Here's House Minority Leader Delana Johnson, a Palmer Republican.
I did have some conversation with the governor, and it sounded like he's hopeful that there could be maybe some new developments, but that's going to be his negotiation. I don't believe the legislature can do much more at this point.
Dunleavy says he's still working on a new version of the legislation, providing a decades-long, multi-billion-dollar tax break for the natural gas project. He says he'll negotiate with, quote, all parties to determine the best path forward to an agreement, end quote. But until he does, lawmakers say they're not planning to call most of their colleagues back to Juneau. Here's Juneau Democratic Senator Jesse Keel, who was the only senator present on the floor Monday morning.
If there is a new approach proposed by the governor, if the governor's open to solving some of the more overarching issues, you'll, I think, see the legislature come back to work. If not, the governor has the power to waste time and money. Constitutionally, we're going to waste as little of it as we possibly can.
The head of Glen Farne Alaska LNG says further delays could risk the project's future. Dunleavy declined an interview request and did not say when he planned to unveil his new bill. And that'll be all for tonight's KDLL Evening News. We had help from Eric Stone in Juneau. You can re-listen to this newscast and find our other stories online at kdll.org. I'm Ashlyn O'Hara. Have a great night.
The KDLL Board of Directors meets at 5:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month at KDLL Studios in the Kenai Peninsula Economic Development District building in Kenai and over Zoom. Meetings are open to the public. If you have an item you'd like to submit for board consideration, email info@kdll.org. Or if you're interested in joining the board, call 907-513-1996.